My wife, Sina, and I, we run the children's and family ministries downstairs. So if you have a question about children's or family, come and see us. We will probably try and answer your question. Hopefully, maybe, could be. Now, last week, we started a series all about embracing mission together as a family. And Pastor Paul started the series last week. Who can remember the name of it? And this is for a crunchy bar. If you know the name, you get a crunchy bar. Anyone? First one to call it out. You are all great listeners. Wonderful. No one? Nathan? I would for it, but you're a bit far away. So, there we go. Freebies. Marvelous. Okay, so the name and the theme of his message was, I've got to remember myself, who is my neighbor? So again, for a crunchy bar, who is our neighbor? Everyone. Who was first that time? John. Catch. That was horrible throw. I'll give it back to Sharon to throw. So we're starting a series, and it's all on the basis of the upcoming Alpha course, really, and also Easter that's coming up. Alpha course, is as I found out on for first day, thanks, Jeremy, is happening on the 30th of April. So it'd be awesome if you could all come, and awesome if you could all bring a friend or your neighbor. Let's start by praying. Dear Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for your presence here right now, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that you just come and dwell amongst your people. For we can't do anything without you, Father. As we talk about sharing your faith, our faith this morning, Father, I pray that the need to do it will just grow within us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, so I want to talk about sharing your faith this morning. Not to your fellow brother or your sister in the Lord, because let's face it, that's pretty easy. And we all do that from time to time, I hope. But this is to those out there in the world. Sharing the gospel to those around us. And I'm hoping that we can all agree that this is fairly important. My first verse this morning is John 17:4-5. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. There is nothing more than God wants than to be glorified. There is nothing more. And the whole purpose of the cross was that he could be glorified in the hearts and lives of others. So therefore, the greatest work that we can do as Christians is to glorify him out in the world, and share our faith. In Acts 4, the disciples experienced this amazing encounter with Christ. And this followed by Peter and John sharing their faith to the others. In chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in jail. Therefore, the power of God came down to that place and they carried on and shared the gospel. And the same thing happened in Acts chapter 2. They glorified God, and then the Holy Spirit turned up and it came in a powerful way. I believe that there is a direct link between us experiencing him and glorifying him as well. But if we want to experience him in a greater way, we need to glorify him with all that we've got. I know that this is not only achieved through sharing your faith. I know it can be done in other ways through the worship. We saw the worship team do it this morning and it was great. We have our night team downstairs glorifying God that way, and that's brilliant as well. So we all can do it in different ways. But sharing your faith is something that we can all do. It's something that we all should do. We can all achieve and fulfill the great commandment, great commission, and we can glorify God in this way. Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Easy, right? Doesn't all this sound easy? The great commandment, go and share the gospel. Easy. For some people, that's exactly what it is. Easy. These people share their faith without thinking about it. And they are what I call like people with the gift of evangelism, where they have a very natural a way to just sharing the gospel, and they just do it easily. But for others, including myself, it just doesn't really flow that naturally. Now, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm sure all of us aren't. I know what Jesus has done in my life, and I know that God wants to do the same for others, and I want him to do so, and I'm praying for it every day. So I share my faith. I tell people that I am a Christian, and I will happily tell people what God has done for me. Is there anyone else in my boat? You're not ashamed of the gospel, but it just doesn't really flow that easily for you. Anyone? I'm seeing a few nods. So this morning, I want to look at how to share our Christian faith with those around us. And before I do, I just want to ask five quick questions. And remember, these are for crunchy bars. I have a whole bag here, so these are for crunchy bars. Question number one. Who is called to go into all the world and preach the gospel? We are. I heard one hand over here. Pass it over to that one. Brilliant. Now, I didn't say these were going to be hard questions, so hopefully you can all get them. Number two, where are we to share the gospel? This side. Maud. Brilliant. Catch. Good stretch. Number three, why are we to do this? Sorry? Jesus commanded us to. Brilliant. This is going to be a big throw. If I hit somebody else, I apologize. And it all just went to the floor. Number four, when are we to do this? Always. Sina, thank you. That was an even worse throw. Now that's all my crunchy bars. We have one other question, but that's going to be my outline today. So I'm just going to put these here, and if you want a crunchy bar, help yourself. But don't stand up, please, because that'll just be inconsiderate. So how are we to share the gospel? Let's turn to my scripture this morning, which is John chapter 4. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go. In some translations, they use the word he needed to go. And this is important, so I just ask you to underline it or just remember it's there. Now he needed to go through Samaria. I'm going to say Samaria in a few different ways during the sermon, so I don't know how they pronounce it, so just be gracious to me, please. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. I'm only saying that once. Now, the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph, Jacob's well, was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water." So Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Now, for some historical background on this passage, a Jew would just never go through Samaria. They would never go this way. Even though it was quicker, faster, and shorter, a Jew would never go this way. because they totally disliked the Samaritans. Now, they already disliked Jews, but in their mind, a Samaritan was worse because essentially a Samaritan was someone who intermarried with other people. So they're pretty much just unclean. So where did Jesus go? He went to where no other Jew wanted to go. And there he met this woman. Now, that in itself is not a big deal, okay? He met a female. But to the people of that day, they also have a big problem with females. So not only do Jewish people have a problem with Samaritans, but they also have a big problem with females. Nice people, eh? Now, this particular Samaritan woman was extra special because she was also an outcast amongst her own people because of her multiple marriages, divorces, and now she's living with someone. So Jesus went to this immoral woman. In fact, it says that he needed to go. Why? She needed to hear the gospel. Because this person needed to hear the gospel. This person was Jesus' neighbor at this time. From this we learn that we need to go. We need to go to where people are. I admit that I like spending time with my fellow Christians. In fact, this is where I'd rather be. But we are commissioned to reach the unsaved. We are commissioned to take the gospel out there. Jesus never said that the whole world will come to church. Jesus never said that. But what he said is that the church should go to the whole world. This includes those that we are not that comfortable with. Those that we dislike and we don't quite get on with. So enough about Pastor Jeremy. But it includes... sorry. Have a crunchy bar, So, cuts deep. It includes those people. So it includes those people that cuts us off on the motorway. Those people that we just don't like. We need to go to these people. We need to reach out to these people. Because this is what God would do. They are his neighbors. They are our neighbors. And while we're talking to these people, we need to use a bit of tact. In fact, I believe that tact is a gift that we need to learn as we're trying to present the gospel to these people. The dictionary says tact is this: skill and sensitivity in dealing with others and with difficult situations. I like what Isaac Newton says about tact. He says, tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. We need to be able to start a conversation about Jesus in a sensitive way. Jesus did this brilliantly. He asked the Samaritan lady a question. You see, while you're in conversation with someone, it takes both listening and talking. So allow the individual to talk about their favorite subject. And we all know what that is. It's themselves. So ask the person about themselves and listen and encourage that poor person to just keep talking about themselves. And in time, you will know when to present the gospel message to this person. Now remember, the objective is not to win the argument, but to win the soul. How many times have you seen people talk about Christianity and it turns into an argument? This could be about homosexuality or religion. You could be talking to a Muslim and you just start arguing about faith. You could be talking to somebody who believes in the Big Bang Theory and you just say, no, God created the earth in 7 days and this is how it is. Often these people just leave the argument thinking that you are a bit of a fool. In effect, you may have hindered them from coming to Christ. I would rather win souls than win the argument. In fact, they would rather lose an argument to see someone make steps towards Christ. So when it comes to having a conversation with someone about Christ, it is always about building the bridge. And notice how tactfully and gracefully Jesus does it in this story. John 4, 11 to 13. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life." Jesus was using the well and this water for a symbol of her life. The reason why she had to come to the well in the hottest part of the day was because she was an outcast, as I've already said. And she was all by herself. So on this day, she walks to the well, just like every other day. But Jesus is there, and he asks for a drink. This shows humanity and his vulnerability. Jesus confronted this lady with humility and grace. This is how we too should engage in conversations with others. We shouldn't come across like a know-it-all. We shouldn't try and win the argument. We should be humble and gracious in our approach to sharing Christ. John 4, 13, 20. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had five husbands." She's been busy. "And the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Here Jesus starts to get to the point. He knows that this woman is a sinner and done all these things, but she tried to change the conversation. She tried to change the conversation and tries to change the subject about temple worship, which was a big issue in that day. And Jesus could have easily have got persuaded by the conversation and started talking about temple worship and defending why they should worship in Jerusalem, but he didn't get sucked into the conversation. When we talk to our neighbours about Christ and we start to get to the point, the Holy Spirit can start to reveal things in their lives. And they can just start to feel a little bit uncomfortable and just wanting to change the subject. But what about this denomination? What about those crazy Baptists? I know this church, and they had a church split and it hurt so many people. What about them? Where is God in amongst this? And these people can just change the subject this way. So we need to be able to adapt to different situations. How you talk to one group about Christ is not going to work for every group. So we need to be able to adapt and we need to be tactful. This is called becoming all things for all people. And Paul says it nicely in the above verse. "For I am free and belong to no one. I have made myself a slave to everyone. To win as many as possible to the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. For I am not free for God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. It is important to be able to adapt to your conversation so that it makes sense to the individual that you are sharing your faith to. Everyone is different. We're all different here. Therefore, we should be prepared to take the conversation wherever it needs to go to meet their need. John 4, 25, 26. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, for one speaking to you, I am he. Jesus reveals to the lady something that is true, and she believed immediately on the spot. Telling your story is a powerful tool to sharing the gospel message. This woman, minutes old in her faith, immediately goes and tells others. Verses 28 and 29. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. By telling people how you were, they can relate to that because that could be how they are now. The path that you went through could be the path that they are going through currently. And it's okay to be vulnerable as well. It's okay to show that you are going through some pain, that you are having some hurt. It's all a part of just being human. You see, people can argue with your sermon, but they can't argue with your story because this is what Christ has done for you. And there's no one who could say that you haven't experienced such and such. But remember, your story is only a bridge to tell his story because it is not about you, it is about him. You are leading people to Christ. Your story needs to glorify Christ in the same way that Christ needs to be your center point right now. He also needed to be your center point at the end. So John chapter 4 is an example through the life of Christ, how he shared the gospel message. And there's no better example for us to follow. And I would encourage you to reread it when you get home. So that is hopefully some helpful ideas in how to share the gospel. And I know that most of you, you'll have your own individual ways of sharing your faith, and that is fine. You need to do what just comes naturally to you. So all this is easy peasy, right? Sharing your faith, sharing the gospel out there in the world is easy peasy. As I said at the beginning, for some of you, this is really easy. In fact, when you hear that others struggle to share your faith, you might get a little bit agitated. Because to you, this is basic Christianity 101. Everyone should do it. Everyone can do it. Why don't you just open up your mouth and allow God to fill it? If this is you, and if this is how you think, just maybe, and I could be wrong, you have a gift of evangelism. And if you do, I'd encourage you to come and talk to Pastor Jeremy about it later on. Because we need to see you operating in this gift that God has called you in. Our church would be better because of it. But for the rest of us who struggle a little bit, just like me, here are five ideas that I have used. Number one, prepare. Have you ever thought about what you would share if you were given the opportunity to talk to someone about Christ? Have you ever thought about it? How would you share the gospel story? What scriptures would you use? How would you share your testimony? It is good for you to prepare something, perhaps even have something written down and rehearse it before an opportunity comes. 1 Peter 3:1 says this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And this scripture leads on to my second point as well, which is be ready. It could happen at any time. It could be a work colleague who knows you're a Christian might come up and ask you a question about Jesus. That could be an opportunity. It could happen at any time. Number three, pray for opportunities. Christ wants us to fulfill the Great Commission. So we need to pray for opportunities. And the scary thing here is that if we pray for it often, we will get it. So while you are praying, it's also good to use your two eyes and look for opportunities. So don't just pray and just stand back and wait. It's also good to use your eyes. Fourth point, sorry, my phone did a silly thing. Open your mouth. Sharing your faith means that you've actually got to open your mouth to share the gospel to other people about the hope that is inside you. This means that you need to open your mouth and just talk about your faith. Just standing there and staring at the individual isn't sharing your faith. We have heard it said over and over again that you need to live by example. That you could be the only Bible that other people will read. And this is true. And it is important. But you need to tell people that you are a Christian. You need to tell people that what Jesus Christ has done in you. So regardless of how you present yourself or how you live, if you don't tell them that you are a Christian, then simply put, you are not sharing your faith. You're just being a blank canvas. You've got to tell them about God. Okay, so we have to open our mouth to share the gospel. Sometimes that is easier said than done. And we stress about what we're going to say. I do sometimes stress about what I'm going to say. You might worry that something negative might come out of your mouth. Something inappropriate about the church might come out of your mouth. Matthew 10:19-20 says this. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Don't worry about what to say. Trust God. This is where faith kicks in, and you have to trust God to fill you with the right words. Trust me, it is better to try than not try at all. Fifth point, pray for boldness. As I have mentioned, you might struggle with sharing your faith, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Doesn't make you less of a Christian. But you could ask God for boldness. And you could ask others to pray for you for boldness. If you belong to a life group, you could ask your life group to pray for you for boldness. And if you don't go to a life group, well, shame on you. Paul asked people to pray for him. Ephesians 6:20 says this, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. He's asking his readers to pray for him regarding him being able to speak the gospel. It is good for us to ask for boldness from Jesus so that we can speak his message as we should. So if you want to pray for prayer for boldness, there will be an opportunity for you after the service. But again, here are my 5 points. Number one, prepare. Number two, be ready. Ask for opportunities. Open your mouth. And pray for boldness. In closing, next month, it's only a month away, we have Alpha. Look for people to share the gospel with, and hopefully you'll be able to bring them along to church on the 30th of April. Share your faith with your neighbor. Here's just one final scripture. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Can I have the band up, please? Here Jesus is saying, let your light shine. So church, just let it shine. Let it shine. Don't hide it. Don't put it under a bushel. Let your light shine. If you want prayer for boldness, we'd love to pray for you. Let's glorify God in this way so that his presence can be felt mightily in this place. Thank you.